I've been a hairdresser for over 20 years, and as she said, 4 days a week, I knock out gorgeous haircuts and colors at Studio 921 in South Baltimore. But the remaining 3 days a week, I have a semi-secret identity. I am an experimental archaeologist. I am published in major journals, and I present regularly at archaeological conferences. And this would be perfectly fine, except I have absolutely no formal training in archaeology whatsoever. My weird slide down into the scholarly abyss began one weird day. It was raining and it was raw, and my daughter was at a music lesson, and I needed a place to keep out of the weather, so I decided to drop into the Walters Art Museum here in Mount Vernon. And what I saw there really changed my life. I was wandering around the galleries, and I ended up in the ancient Roman portrait room. Now, for those of you who are unfamiliar with ancient Roman portraits, they're a lot like decapitated heads, except that they're made from stone, and they have rather pleasant expressions on their faces. And most museums display them in a particular way. They will set them up on high shelves, pressed up against the wall, facing inward. I guess it's so that the statues can have a better view of the museum visitors as they pass through. But the Walters did something rather unusual. They set many of their best portraits squarely out in the middle of the room, where you can see them from all angles, kind of like a cocktail party. So I got to see the back of the heads for once, and I absolutely fell in love with the hairstyle on this dead chick named Julia Domna. Oh, my God, it was gorgeous. It's this enormous basketball of hair, deep waves, rope braids around the face, and planted on the back of her head is this elaborate spiral braided bun about the size of a dinner plate. And it looks just like the braided rugs my grandmothers used to make when I was a child. And so I said to myself, cha-ching, what a great bridal style that will make at the salon. I have got to try this out. I can sell this. So the minute I got home, I raced down to my basement where I keep my practice equipment, and I pulled out a long-haired mannequin and a stand. And for those of you who do not have hairdressers in the family, long-haired mannequins are a lot like decapitated heads, except that they're made from plastic and they're implanted with human hair. Yeah, really. So we were getting to work. Her name is Madeline the mannequin, and me. We were cooking with gas. I was just really going strong. I had those rope braids in. I had the braids made for the back, and I started coiling up the braid, and then I tried to pin it to the back of the head, and it fell stinking apart. I could not make it work. My U-shaped pins were absolutely letting me down. And, you know, I'm just not accustomed to hairstyles dissing me, okay? But this thing had turned into a depraved, snarling porcupine at the back of her neck. And Madeline was looking depressed, and I wasn't too happy either. So this being 2001, we didn't have the internet so much, so I took a little trip down to the Enoch Pratt Library to see what I could find in the stacks. And what I found out there really shocked me. I discovered first that ancient Roman hairstyles are actually very important to the study of archaeology. They are used to identify precise historical individuals and to date artifacts. And then secondly, I learned that U-shaped wire hairpins did not exist in ancient Rome. So no wonder they didn't work. And then thirdly, and perhaps most shocking to me, I learned that just about every scholar writing on the subject believed in two things. They believed that the hair took hours and hours and hours to do, that the women practically spent their entire days getting their hair done, and that it was all faked with wigs. Okay, that just blew my hairdresserly brain. All right, I know from hair, I know A, that no woman is going to sit still to have a wig dressed on her hair. It's done on a separate stand. So the hours and hours thing just make no sense. And then B, even if you're wearing a wig, you still have to have a way to make the hair stay up. So what was it? So I guess my descent into scholarly addiction was assured at that point. But it began slowly. I started with an article here and a dictionary entry and a book there. But pretty soon I was spending every spare minute at the Johns Hopkins University Library. I was mainlining bibliography. I was binging on footnotes. I was devouring every book I could find on Roman history, Roman material culture, art, architecture, daily life, and God help me, I had to brush off my high school Latin and get into the literature. And frankly, it was in the literature where I found my holy grail, my smoking gun, my ur quote, in an obscure grammarian named Sextus Pompeius Festus, who wrote, now stay with me here, acus dicitur qua sarcinatrix vel etiam ornatrix utitur. That, yes. See? Yeah. And it means that which the cloth mender and the hairdresser use is called a needle. A needle. 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 Needle and thread. Needle and thread. They were not using U-shaped pins. They were sewing their hairstyles together. And the second I sewed Julia's hairstyle together, it came together like magic. The angels sang. It was supple. It was perfect. It looked just like Grandma's braided rug. And not just her style, but every style I tried now worked. So what had happened was that all of these scholars had just simply, for centuries, taken for granted and as universal fact the way that they themselves personally dressed their hair and took care of it, and they just applied it to the Romans. They didn't take the text literally. And so now I'm finding myself in a rather awkward position. I now have an answer to a question that nobody is asking. So, God help me. I had to step through the looking glass and start writing a scholarly article. Me, with just an undergraduate education, and I don't even write interesting letters. So I stepped through the looking glass and began writing, and I wrote, and I wrote, and I rewrote, and I cried. And I wrote some more, and I begged my friends to read my vile prose. And I lived in total fear of any new book that came out on Roman culture, fearing that someone would beat me to the post. But finally, in 2008, I published an article in the Journal of Roman Archaeology, and I thought, okay, that's it. Great, I can get back to hair. But my addiction wouldn't leave me alone. I published again. And I started presenting at scholarly conferences, and I have a YouTube channel that's devoted exclusively to historical hair. And God help me, even at night, it doesn't leave me alone. I find myself dreaming of Madeline and Julia Domna playing tag with my grandmother's rag rug. Thank you.